I don't know whether you ever looked at this and paid very close attention to it, but in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21, we see a verse that says, submitting to one another in the fear of God. See, I told you I'm not a male chauvinist, just down on the women. We are to submit to one another, but it's a different kind of submission that I'm talking about when the wives are to submit to their own husbands. But it says husbands are to submit as well, though not submitting to his wife as a leader. See, he can't submit to her as a leader, but he can give place to her. She has something to say in the relationship, in the home, and all of that. A believing husband must submit to the loving duty of being a sensitive to the needs and the fears and the feelings of his wife. This is what a loving caretaker does. Now, here again, if your wife says, I don't need you to take care of me. Brother, what you married is what you got. And you know what? I'm not going to tell you to divorce it, to get away from it. I'm just going to tell you to go to God about it. You better do it. In other words, a Christian husband needs to subordinate his needs to hers, whether she is a Christian or not. See, Peter specifically notes consideration. He's talking about chivalry, guys, chivalry and companionship. It says, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel. That's chivalry. When it says weaker vessel here, and we're just looking at it in the language, the weaker vessel, MacArthur in his commentary says, while she is fully equal in Christ, because she is equal as a Christian as the man is, and not inferior spiritually because she is a woman. And the sister scripture to read for that is Galatians chapter 3, verse 28. I'll read it because some of you may get confused by this. This has nothing to do with the woman being a pastor, but this is talking about the woman's equality with the man. It says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ. This isn't talking about being a pastor, so don't get that twisted. But I know that a lot of people want to get it twisted because of their whole, you know, well, this is what I believe. And then they say, well, that's the way you translate that. But see, I can translate it. No, if you do the Greek exegesis, we can all get the same meaning of the text. Text only has one meaning in every place in Scripture. I don't care what these new so-called female apostates, they're not apostles, they're apostates, tell you. Because God has never called a female to be a pastor. I guess that's why a lot of them won't even listen to my website, because, oh, he's one of those. No, you know what? You're going to hell, baby. Better provide a scripture to me. Because, girl, you're going to bust tail wide open. And your arrogance and letting your backbone slip don't mean nothing to me. And please try to put out a contract and whack me, because I ain't never been afraid of dying and afraid of you. And I wish a woman would come and try to put her hands on me. I have her locked up in a straitjacket doing time right now in Camp Pendleton in a ditch digging it. Some of you men got some, you know, I feel sorry for you. You got some women that'll beat you down like a man will. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them in an understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. In other words, the grace of life is not salvation, but marriage, the best relationship an earthly life has to offer. That's what he's talking about. The grace of life is being married. The husband must cultivate this companionship and this fellowship with his wife, whether she is a Christian or not. That's very, very important, because it ends up and says that your prayers be not hindered. This refers specifically to the husband's prayers for the salvation of his wife. Such a prayer would be hindered if he were not respectful to the needs of that particular fellowship, of that union between he and his wife. Now, thus far you're saying, well, okay, I'm trying to go along with that, but we just don't see eye to eye, Pastor John. We're always fussing with each other. Things never seem to work out amongst us. Have to go by mama's house. I'm always calling my in-laws. He's calling his outlaws to justify his behavior against my behavior. Well, you need to read 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. Read on down. Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers. Be tender-hearted. Be courteous. In other words, when it says, be of one, that is from two Greek words meaning to think the same, or to be like-minded. See, the husband and wife are to be like-minded. This is what makes the relationship go constantly, because you are like-minded. In other words, the idea is to maintain inward unity of heart. That's how I could be with, you know, a lot of people ask me all the time, PJ, how could you be with Lucy? It was over 34 years because I, you know, knew her intellectually, not physically, prior to me marrying her. And we got along very, very well. Every time I try to get some china out of the china cabinet, I think of Lucy because she chose the china cabinet. We had not had a china cabinet. For those of you that don't know, it is a nice cabinet where you put your crystalware. And Lucy would sell crystal at time to make extra money for the house, give crystal parties at the house. And of course, she bought all that crystal. And I'm using it more and more. And every time I see the china cabinet, I think about when she and I made the decision to go down to the Fox Hills Mall to pick up the, not to pick it up, but to order it. And when they delivered it, how happy she was to place it in her kitchen. And to take all of her crystal out of the boxes that she had wrapped up in newspaper and to wash it. And she would not allow me to, because it's china. It's delicate glassware. And I've got to admit, since she's been gone, I used some of it and wash it and put a heavy fist in there and just broke the thing in pieces. I said, oh, Lord. But all Christians are to be examples and purveyors of peace and unity, right? Shouldn't be any disruption and disharmony in our lives. The Bible teaches that. Since the Bible teaches us that, why are we as husbands and wives at each other's throats? That doesn't make any sense. Jesus says in John 13:35, by this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Wouldn't we think that married couples above all would have that kind of love for one another? In John 13:17, did I say 13:17? I sure did, didn't I? Let me check that out first. Gotta make sure I have the right verse. 13:17, if you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. See, it's one thing for you to know that you ought to love your spouse, but it's another thing for you to love them. Oh, well, I love her. What? Love her. Talk to her. Tell her something. Not convinced yet. Romans 12:16. Be of the same mind towards one another. Of course, this is speaking generally to all Christians, But why would you not expect this to work within the Christian relationship? Be of the same mind towards one another. Paul doesn't end there in Romans 15 and 5. He says, now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded towards one another. We see these ideas repeated in the scripture. And they're repeated for a reason. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10 says, now I plead with you. Here the Apostle Paul is begging now. He says, now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing. Would not you really expect that of a husband and wife team? And that there be no divisions amongst you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. What a verse. That's why even when I think about people fussing and feuding with each other in the church. Now, if a brother's wrong, you're just supposed to tell him right up front he's wrong. Like I tell some of these females that call themselves pastors, there is no such thing. And so, this is how we handle that. Let me give you another scripture right here. Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Okay, Philippians 2, 1 and 2 says, therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy. Now look at verse 2. He says, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord. And here's that term again, of one mind. So you see what's happening? Now, you're not supposed to be trying to listen to what's happening in the background. That's just somebody leaving something on the answering service. So don't even try to listen to that. I did not pick that up because I knew who that was. Okay. But, you know, being of one mind, that's what I want you to understand, of one mind, to think the same, to be like-minded. This is what is expected of you as a married person. Now, let's look at verse 9. Not returning, and this is very, very important, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but to the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. Now, we're going to talk about this a little bit, too, because there's a little tit for tat in a lot of these marriage relationships going on. Well, if you do this to me, I'm going to do that for you. Let me share something with you people. You didn't marry your sister. You didn't marry your brother. You aren't siblings trying to get along with each other. It doesn't work like that. When it says, on the contrary, blessings means to speak well of or to eulogize. You know, when you eulogize a person that died, you're not going to go there and talk about him badly. You're going to eulogize him. You're going to say those nice things. I hope you're not going to be lying about him. The blessing that a Christian is to give to the reviler includes finding ways to serve him, praying for his salvation. That's even if your wife or your husband reviles you. You don't pay him back with that kind of evil intent, because that's not what you are like. I like Proverbs 20, verse 22, because I really think that it speaks to this as we end up this study. Do not say, I will recompense evil. It says, wait for the Lord and he will save you. See, you don't have to give the payback when your spouse, even when they out of their blooming minds, does something so crazy that it doesn't make any sense at all. And I hope that you got something out of this hour. I get something out of every hour that I do it. Well, next time we begin, we're going to be in hour number 16. And we're going to talk about how to break some old habits that's been destroying the marriage, breaking those habits. And then we're going to move into looking at tools to make our marriage work. You're going to like the next one because we're going to look at 12 lessons in developing intimacy. That's always a fun subject matter. And I think that's what that whole hour is going to be, those 12 lessons on developing intimacy. And so I want you to join me next time for the next pre- and post-marriage counseling. This is your web radio host, Pastor John Coleman, saying thank you so much for coming to the website and for listening to me as I try to strengthen that relationship. Till next time, stay into the Word. God bless.